Thanks for checking out the My City Church podcast today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope that this message inspires you. And now, here is Pastor Jesse Norman.
Well, good morning, good morning. Welcome to the conclusion of our Welcome Home series. And we've been in this series for 3 weeks, and man, I'm excited to preach this message this morning. I think it's going to encourage some people and challenge some people. Are you excited to engage with it? All right, all two of you are excited about that. Fantastic. All right. Man, it's snowing outside. We might as well go all in. You know what I mean? Like, we're here. Let's lean in today. Let's get everything out of it that we can. But I wanted to celebrate something really awesome that happened to me this week. I think it was Thursday. I had a friend who was getting some coffee at one of our local coffee shops at Hardee's, and took a picture of one of our Stuff the Truck boxes and texted it to me and was like, hey, man, this is really cool, you know? And then the next day, I get another text message from him. He's like, I'm getting my hair cut, and there was one of our Stuff the Truck boxes in the salon. He was getting his hair cut, took a picture, sent it to me, and then he's like, man, wow, these things are everywhere. And then on Saturday, he texts me again. They were at Junk Stock at Winter Wonderland, and one of our big trucks with one of the big banners on it was there, takes a picture, tends at me. He's like, your church is all over the place. Follow me around. And I said, yeah. He just said, man, this is so encouraging to see the church leading the way in generosity, not just within the church world, but in the secular world as well. And I just want to take a minute and celebrate our I Love My City teams who have worked so hard to put that together. Can we give them a huge round of applause? And you know, the thing I love about our I Love My City teams and all the teams around our church is people have taken the time to discover their purpose, and now they're using their gifts, their talents, and their abilities to make a difference in people's lives. Man, it'll change everything when you begin to discover a sense of purpose. And maybe you're like, well, what is my purpose? Well, we have something built just for you. It's called our Next Classes. It happens every single weekend. Right after this service at 12:45, we provide lunch for you. I always say this, you give us 4 weekends, we'll help you engage in the life of our church. We'll help you establish spiritual foundations in your life. We'll equip you by helping you discover your gifts, your talents, and your spiritual gifts. And we'll empower you to begin to lead in every sphere of life. And man, love for you to be able to join in that. 4 weeks, put your life on a brand new course as you develop the purpose God has given you. Well, if you're ready with me today, John chapter 8, I'm going to read a story that we're going to loop back into all the way at the end of the message, so we'll get to it in just a minute, but it's one of my favorite stories in all the Bible. It's Jesus in action, and here's what it says, John chapter 8, verse 1. Jesus returned to the Mount of Olives, but early the next morning, he was back again at the temple. A crowd soon gathered, and he sat down and taught them. As he was speaking, the teachers of the religious law and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery, and they put her in front of the crowd. Just get this scene for a minute. This is pretty wild. That would be like in this room, somebody being dragged in here and thrown at my feet while you all watch. That's what's going on right now. And here's what the religious leader said. Teacher, they said to Jesus, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say? They were trying to trap him into saying something that they could use against him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote in the dust with his finger. What a response. They kept demanding an answer. So he stood up again and said, all right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone. Then he stooped down again and began to write in the dust. Then when the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus, say only Jesus, only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. Then Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you? She said, no, Lord. And Jesus said this, neither do I. Go and sin no more. What a beautiful story. I want to attach one other scripture to it as we dive in today. John chapter 1, verse 14, and here's what it says. It says, the word became flesh and made his dwelling, you could say, made his home amongst us. We have seen his glory and the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Let's say that again. Full of grace and truth. Today I want to talk to you from this topic or this thought. In this house we, and we're going to fill in the blanks today as we talk to the conclusion of this Welcome Home series. In this house we, let's pray. Father, we thank you today that you're in this place, Lord, and you came to encourage us and challenge us, Lord. Help us to see Jesus more today. Help us to see who he is, what he's about, what he embodied. And God, as we see Jesus, may we become more like him, Lord. And Lord, we continue to pray, Lord, for better weather outside. I already looked at next Sunday. It's supposed to be beautiful out, Lord. May it be so in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Come on, if you're thankful for better days out in front of us and better weather, give me a good hand clap anyway. Well, I got a question for you. Have you ever lived somewhere and then you had to move into a new house or a new apartment? Like, if you've ever been through this experience, you understand it's not the funnest experience. Like, you first have to take everything, you have to pack it up, and you start to find that you own things that you never knew you owned. Like, what is this thing? Like, why do I have this? My wife hates every time we move because I'm of the operation. If I haven't physically seen it in 3 months, it's getting thrown in the dumpster. So I'm just throwing things away, you know, I just give it away. We're throwing it away. I'm just trying to get, Angela's like, no, we're going to use that in the year 2050. Got to hang on to it. You know, we got to hang on to it. But you understand the process. You pack it up and then you move to the new place and then you start moving everything into the new place. And then the real frustration begins, right? Because everything that you had previously bought was bought for the home that you lived in. The living room was this size. That couch fit perfectly in that living room. And then now you've taken everything into this new place and you're moving it in and you realize nothing's fitting right. This is so frustrating. So what do? You begin the never-ending dialogue, right? Like, let's try the couch over here. Let's try it over here. And of course, I'm the one moving the furniture, you know what I'm saying? And my wife is the one making the decisions. And after 27 moves later, you finally realize that it worked great in the first place you put it. You put it back and you're doing this whole thing and then you start trying to put stuff on the walls, right? And like the painting that used to fit perfect in the living room no longer fits because there's a window there now and it's a smaller wall. And you're going through this thing and you go through this whole thing and you finally feel like you've got everything in its place and you start looking around and you start to realize there's holes. There's stuff missing. Like we don't have anything that fits right there and we don't have anything that belongs right there and we don't have anything that actually works there. So you have a decision. Are you going to try to make something fit? Or are you going to go to the at-home store? Have you ever been to this store? It's on Center Street, at home. If you want to torture a man, take him to the at-home store. I mean, you walk in, it is a football-filled size store full of every kind of plant, side table, who's he, what's he, gizmo, thingamabobber. You know, I don't know. That's what guys call decorations, okay? It's just full of everything that you don't need. And there's no organization to the store. Like you go in and you've got like a painting or a thing for the table that you're looking for. An hour later, you have looked through everything that you do not need only to find that you can't find one thing that I actually need. There is 25 billion items in this store. How can we not find the right who'sie what'sie for the table? So depressing, you know? That's what Amazon's for. I don't want to go to the store. And one of the things that I've realized from my vast experience at the at-home store and at Hobby Lobby is you walk around and there's like typical American home decorations, right? They're like classic American, you know, like here's what like every person has one of these in there. And the reason you know that is because there's 65 different options of the same thing. different colors, different schemes, different shapes, different sizes, all saying the same thing. One of those that I've noticed that I actually kind of like, I think we actually have one in our house, is this thing where you see these like things, right? Like sometimes it's a shutter and it says, in this house we dot, 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 dot. And you got like 10 blanks. I think we got a picture up here. You know, in this home, you know, we do sharing. Like there's like 10 statements that like nobody would disagree with. You know what I mean? Like you've never seen somebody like in this house, we do dirty laundry. Like you never see that in there. You know what I mean? Like you just don't see it. It's all in this house. We laugh. In this house. We smile. In this house. We make mistakes. We make mistakes. In this house, we keep it real, dog. You know what I mean? Like, usually the dog isn't on there, but, you know, whatever. You know what I mean? And we put these things out there that try to present, like, this positive vibe in our home. Like, these positive vibe in our home. I think that's why people, these things have kind of become famous and are pretty much in every decorating store that you could go to, is because I think everybody realizes that if you don't set the temperature of your home, it can become a cold place. That a home is made up of more than decorations and the things that we put on the wall. There are some values. There's some things that we want to fill our house with that you can't see, touch. But how many of you know that's the difference between a house and a home, is what it's full of. And I had this thought or this question. If Jesus was decorating the rooms of our lives, our homes, and our church, what would he list under in this house we? Like, I think that that's a great question. Like, if Jesus was the guy who made the thing for Hobby Lobby and he was trying to decorate your house, like, on one of those rungs, what would Jesus put on there? Because I think if we can discover that, what we'll really discover is what Jesus said he was full of. What he would bring to the atmosphere, what he would fill our lives with, who he is as a person. The beautiful thing is the Bible actually tells us what Jesus would have wrote in this house we. John chapter 1, verse 14, it says this, and the word became flesh and made his dwelling or home among us. What does that mean? That Jesus stepped out of the heavenlies, came and put on flesh. He came and put on humanity. That's what our Christmas series is all about. So God came to us because we couldn't get to God. So God came to us. The word became flesh and made his home amongst us. And then he went decorating. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. What is this verse saying? Jesus came to make a house. He came to put things on the walls of our life and their grace and truth. I think if Jesus was filling in the blank, it would say this. In this house, we do grace and truth. We do grace and truth. I think this verse is even going a step further. That if we're truly going to embrace Jesus, we can't just embrace part of what he's full of. Part, whether you're a grace person or you're a truth person, the reality is if we're going to embrace all that Jesus is, we can't just embrace one part of him. Here's what I want you to understand. We have to embrace grace and truth if we want to embrace Jesus. If we want to embrace all that Jesus is in our lives, we can't just settle for the part of it that makes us most excited or whatever, because then we are simply adopting an idea rather than a person. See, grace and truth are not a philosophical idea. They're not an ethos that we live by, that we choose one without the other. In fact, what we are saying is that grace and truth are not competing against one another. They actually complete one another. Here's what I want you to get. You can't embrace grace without truth. And you can't embrace truth without grace. Because grace comes to cover us, but it also comes to empower us. Truth comes to liberate us and set us free. You know what I've found in my life is I just believe this with all my heart. Yes, it is awesome that my sins have been forgiven. But what good is it if I still struggle with the pain of making the same old destructive patterns over and over again? I love grace, but I also love truth. And I love truth, but I need some grace sometimes. See, we can't embrace grace without truth, and we can't embrace truth without grace. The real reason is, I alluded to this just a moment ago, is because grace isn't a concept. Listen to this. Grace and truth are not concepts. They are a person, and his name is Jesus. So just think about it in your own life for a moment. If somebody only embraced the times that you were happy, that's what we have going on right now on social media, is that we only embrace the good times and we only play our highlight reel, but we all know that real relationship and real friendship also embraces the ugly parts. Because what? That would be embracing all that you are. See, we can't embrace all that Jesus is unless we embrace grace and truth. Now, we all, depending on how you grew up, we all know people that are truth, truth, truth. And we all know people that are grace, 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 grace. Like, we have sticky statements and catch lines that have been passed down from generation to generation for people that are bent towards truth and people that are more bent towards grace. And, you know, but there's real problems, like, if we just lean in one side or the other. There's real problems if we only embrace one part of Jesus. You know, the truth, truth, truth person. Come on, we all know this person. It's always helpful when you talk about the truth person to talk in a big redneck accent. You know, the truth person. You know, you're going through a hard time. You're trying to process how to serve God, and they look at you and go, I don't care what you feel. We don't live by feelings. We live by the word of God. And if God said it, you better do it. You're like, thanks for the compassion. So kind. This is what I needed today. Shot of love. Come on, yeah, they go, maybe the real truth person, you know what I mean? Like, you better repent, friend. You better repent. I don't know why I went real high and real low there. This thing, it's turn or burn. Turn or burn. God ain't playing no games with sin. You know, this is the guy on the corner with the sign who thinks he's helping our cause. Right? Like, truth, 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 truth. Truth, 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 truth. Like, some of you, like, this Christmas season, you're already having anxiety about going to your family holidays because you have a truth person in your house. Sit down at the table and everybody's like, let's say grace. They volunteer. You're like, no. No, why? They open up, Lord, our country is going to hell. Going to hell in a handbag. You're like, I'm trying to eat turkey. Stop it. No one's following God anymore. These preachers, they're not even preaching the truth anymore. God, and we thank you for baby Jesus. All right, bye. And you're like, what was that? There is truth, truth, truth. Everything's a problem. Everything's falling apart. The world's going to hell in a handbasket, but there's never no grace on their tongue. Very rarely do you hear them bless people. Very rarely do you hear them encourage people. Because it's just truth, truth, truth. No grace, grace, grace. But then there's grace, grace, grace with no truth, truth, truth. See, the grace, grace, grace person with no truth, this is kind of what they sound like. God loves you. God loves me. We're a happy family. Live however you want. And don't burden me with truth. If you do, I will just say, don't judge me. Spirit of Barney. Spirit of Barney, folks. Rising up in the house. What's the mode of operation? Like, hey, God's good. Like, God's grace. God understands. God, yeah, and here's what I want you to understand. God does understand, and that's why he died on a cross. But he doesn't want you just to live a life where you feel a little bit better about the mistakes. He actually wants you to be free from the mistakes. I said this first service, I'm gonna say it again. We serve a God who is not the great therapist. He is our great Savior. He doesn't want to just make us feel better and leave us stuck in the stuff that we're in. He doesn't want us just to be like, I don't know how to live. I'm just going to do my thing. No, he actually has truth. Go a step further. He is truth. So following his truth is following Jesus. See, when we lean in one side or the other of this, we begin to really experience some dire consequences. Like, you got to understand this. Like, to only accept a part of Jesus actually leads to real consequences in our life. It actually leads to us not experiencing all that we've promised, all that we've been promised. My concern with most people today is I think they've got enough Jesus to make them inoculated to actually getting free. It's like when you take a flu shot, you know what they do? They actually give you a little bit of the flu. They're actually training your body to ignore the flu, to fight the flu. You know what I'm concerned about is that we've got people who've got enough truth or enough understanding of grace, but do not understand that if we just lean on one and not the other, if we don't actually work with God, if we don't actually let Jesus fill our house with who he is, we remain stuck, and there's real consequences that end up happening. And the person who is truth, 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 and no grace, here's what I want you to do. If you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. Truth without grace leads to rules and rebellion. So truth without grace leads to rules without rebellion. Rules without rebellion. Come on, some of you grew up in a house like this. Like you grew up in a house. It was rules. And then there was rules about rules. And then we had a conversation about creating more rules about the rules that were rules, that are just rules on rules on rules on rules. And what you will usually find in a household like that is you will find out of three kids, one will have submitted to the rules, but they're deeply depressed on the inside. And you'll find two that have gone, you know, like they're on the turn up. You know what I mean? Like they're, you know, for the next 30 years, like I'm doing my thing, you know, partay, you know what I mean? And they're just, because why? Because truth without grace leads to rules and rebellion. I remember when I was in high school, I was kind of a knucklehead in junior high. I started getting in a lot of trouble. So my parents thought, man, you know, I think a Christian school might help him and really kind of get him. How many of you know that didn't work? And some of you are like, I still don't know if it has. All right. So I ended up going to a Christian school. I remember it was my freshman year, and we had our homecoming dance. Now, you've never been to a dance until you've been to a Christian high school dance. Okay? This is before we had cool Christian music, okay? Like, imagine having your first slow dance to Our God is an Awesome God. Our God is an awesome God, he reigns. You're like, hey, girl. You know what I mean? Like, nothing good. Nothing good. I remember we were sitting around, and we're like, what is with this? Like, they had all these rules. They would make statements like this. Are you leaving enough room for Jesus? They were really serious. They had to be able to fit a Bible between you and the girl. I'm like, can we get a skinny one? Like a New Testament in paperback? So we're dancing. There's just rules upon rules. And what I started to realize was that everybody was rebelling against it. So rather than dancing, people were sneaking off around the corner to learn how to French kiss. Like people, it wasn't me. It was all them. It was all them. I was submitted to God, fearing God. It was all them. Because why? Rules. Rules. Without relationship, they end up leading to rebellion. See, you put a rule in place, and you'll find somebody that will rebel against it. Just if you don't believe me, just anybody got a 2-year-old in here? I have a 2-year-old in our house right now. I love my boy so much, but I put a rule in place, like, don't touch that. He will literally walk over this, point at it. Yes, Zion. do not touch that. And he'll look dead at me. Zaya, no, don't do it. Okay, daddy. I'm like, son, like we're trying to potty train him right now, right? We're trying to potty train him and we're trying to, Bubba, you gotta go poo-poo and pee-pee in the big boy potty, okay? The big boy potty, okay? And so I'll look at him and I'm like, I smell something or he looks a little uncomfortable. I'm like, you gotta go potty? And he'll look at me, stand up. Bubba, you have to go potty. Let's go to the potty. Let's go to the potty. No. While he's squeezing, okay? Like, I don't know what's going on. Like, Bubba, do you need to go to the potty? You know what I mean? You're like, why are you so? It's in us. It's in us that when there's a rule, there's something that rises up in us that wants us to what? Rebel against it. That's why, parents, if I can help you here, or really just anybody in this room, here's the key. Rules without relationship lead to rebellion. So you could really interchange the word grace and the word relationship. That God's rules without an alive, effective, heartfelt relationship with God will lead to rebellion in your life. That's the good news, friends. That's why grace is so powerful. That's why the truth person doesn't necessarily get it, because they don't understand that they're not really free, because real freedom, a real love for God, as the Bible says, will lead to us keeping his commandments. Because why? When we fail, there's relationship. When we make mistakes, there's a get up, my boy, I love you. See, we gotta have grace and truth. But then there's, you know, the grace people, just grace, 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 and, you know, no truth. And here's what I want you to write down. Grace without truth leads to do whatever and believe whatever. So grace without truth leads to do whatever and believe whatever. Like, I totally get the mindset that says, you know what, God has forgiven me. God loves me just the way I am. But I don't understand how we can embrace the grace of God without first understanding, yes, God loves you just the way you are. And God accepts you just the way you are. But he also loves you enough not to leave you that way. Sometimes I wonder, but people that just want grace, 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 what they're saying is that, hey, I want all the blessing, but I don't actually want to have to work on who I am as a person. Here's what I want you to understand. Where there is no greater authority in our lives will always follow the majority. So what ends up happening in the person who's grace, 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 and no truth is, what do? They follow whatever is popular belief, whatever feels good, whatever they think will work in their life. The problem, the real problem with this is what ends up happening in our world is we learn by pain, not by God's wisdom. We end up learning by pain, right? Because if everything's good, if I can just do whatever or believe whatever, that philosophy, that thought does not remove us from God's truth. Like, it's not like because I believe differently, now all of a sudden the rules that God has put into place don't apply to me. There's actually real consequences if I get on this side of it. And what ends up happening is when I have a do whatever and believe whatever, I end up learning through pain. Ooh, I tried that relationship. He's not the kind of guy I want. So maybe I want this kind of guy or this kind of guy. And we just jump from person to person, thing to thing, experiment to experiment, searching for something that might make us happy. But here's what I want you to understand. God wants to do something on the inside of you. He wants to put truth on the inside of you that acts as a great filter over your world that helps you make wise decisions. See, the Bible says this, that you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. See, this is the best way I can describe this to you. It would be like if you found out you had cancer, and you went to the doctor, and you went in, and the doctor goes, man, You've got cancer all over your body. You got cancer like all over your liver or something like that. And then he looks at you and goes, but man, I just want to encourage you. I want to love you. You're going to get through this. You know, I'm going to hug you. He sits down, talks to you. He becomes your friend. He says, we're going to get over this. And then he stands up and goes, all right, see ya. And while I would like a doctor to comfort me, encourage me, love on me, I got cancer. I want some treatment. What good is it to have peace and love and these things, but on the inside I have things eating me up? See, we live in a generation where the grace person wants Jesus just to leave the cancer alone. The grace person says, no, God, I want you to accept my cancer and all. And Jesus is saying, I do accept your cancer and all. But here's the great news, friends. Here's the truth. You don't have to live with cancer anymore. If you'll begin to put some truth into the middle of your world. You know what truth? Truth is like the chemotherapy of cancer. It may not change it immediately. It may not change it overnight. But over time, truth upon truth upon truth builds a brand new life of health. God doesn't want you just to be free when you get to heaven. God wants you to experience freedom here on earth. Freedom here on earth. God wants you to learn how to live with grace and truth. See, I'll never forget when I first learned this. When I first became a Christian, many of you don't know this. Maybe some of you don't know this part of my story, but I didn't become a Christian until I was 18 or 19. I think it was 19. And I was a real mess before that. I actually became a Christian while I was in jail. And was in jail for a little bit, accepted Jesus as into my life. It was an incredible experience. And I remember one of the greatest struggles of my life there was feeling such a grace from God. Right? Like, I knew how messed up I was. I knew how much hope I needed. But in that moment, like, grace. But the reality is that if I kept on doing what I was doing, I can have the grace of God, the love of God. But if I don't accept His truth, I'm just going to wind back up in this jail. And I realized early on that it was because of the grace of God that it now gave me the courage, the conviction, the boldness to be able to look on the inside of myself and go, you know what, friend? God accepts me just the way I am, which means I don't have to perform. I don't have to try to be better for God. But here's the beautiful part. Now I can have the freedom to try to conquer the things in my life that are trying to conquer me. And when I mess up, I can pick myself back up. When I don't live out the truth, you know what? I can run to a Father who's full of what? Grace. And I can ask for forgiveness. And Him love me, accept me, and pick me up. See, people that aren't willing to embrace truth have never really experienced grace. Because they're still trying to defend their way, defend their thing, defend their way of doing it. And God's going, you're missing out. You're missing out. Maybe if we just dropped our guard and we said, God, I am so loved, so accepted, so welcomed home by you. Whatever you say in this house goes for me. And I may make 1,000 mistakes, but you know where you're going to find me every time? Back in your arms. Running home. Not condemned. For there is now no condemnation for those of us that are in Christ Jesus. It should produce in us a confidence to go, you know what? I can stretch for truth. I can stretch for a better life. I can stretch to live out God's commands. You know what? I'm not going to set out to fail, but when I do, all I got to do is we are faithful to confess. confess our sins, he is faithful to bring us back home. You don't have to be scared of truth. You have to be willing to embrace grace and truth. See, I love Jesus because Jesus just didn't talk to us about what this would look like. He didn't just give us some vague things and, you know, your house, your life should be full of grace and truth. Well, I mean, I get all that, but what does that look like in action? Well, there's this beautiful story that we read in the opening in John chapter 8 of what grace and truth looks like in action. Here's the picture of the story. Jesus is preaching to these people. It's a room full of people just like this. And these religious leaders, these Pharisees, these truth guys, they find a woman caught in adultery and they grab her and pull her in and they throw her at the feet of Jesus. I always just got some questions about this. Number one, how did they catch her? A little weird. And then number two, where's the dude? Come on, ladies. Uh-huh. Tell the truth. Shame the devil. All right. Where's that joker? Huh? Because it takes two to tango. See, these guys have an agenda. Their agenda is not restoration for a relationship. Their agenda isn't to help this woman. Their agenda is truth for truth's sake. They've removed truth from God and they've made it this thing out there that we're supposed to fight for and live for. And if somebody does it, what do? And that's what they said. We're going to stone her. That's what truth said we should do. By the way, can I tell you that that's actually our just punishment? It's actually our just punishment. They were 100% true, but they were missing the person of truth. No concept of grace. I love Jesus. Jesus is sitting there. He's probably preaching, and all of a sudden there's, I don't know, the woman's dress. I mean, she was in the act. Like, I don't know what this scene looks like, but it was shocking. And they come up to Jesus. Jesus, this is what Moses says. We're supposed to stone her. What do you say? Because they've seen something different in Jesus. There's something different inside of him. It's not just truth. It's just not harsh. It's just not, but it doesn't seem to be compromising. There's this other side called grace that they don't get. So they're going to try to challenge Jesus, see if they can catch him in something. And I love what Jesus. Jesus doesn't even answer something. He just gets down on the ground, starts doodling the ground. I'm like, this is the weirdest thing. Starts writing in the ground, and they probably thought the same thing. So they get louder. Come on, tell us your answer. What are we supposed to do here? Jesus finally says, all right then. Well, here's how we're going to do this thing, because you are right. This is just. This is what truth demands. Like, but here's how we're going to go about this, just to make sure, because you've used truth on this woman. Here comes truth right back. Doesn't that sound like the Bible? For the measure you use, it shall be used to you. And Jesus looks at him and he goes, here's how we're going to do this. Here's how we're going to lead this thing. Whoever in this crew doesn't have any sin, you're the leader. Throw the first stone. And then he gets back down, begins to write on the ground. Now, I can only imagine at some point Jesus has left the stage or the platform and this woman, and now so that the men can see what he is writing in the ground, has now moved from in front of the woman to between the accusers and the woman. What a picture of grace. That whatever you've got going in your life, if there's a judgmental person in your world who's condemning you, who doesn't care about you, you know, you come talk to me. I don't care what you're caught in. I will walk with you and I will stand with you. Because why? That's what Jesus does. What is he doing? He's showing grace. And he begins to write. Now, theologians argue and have lots of ideas of what he wrote in the ground. You know what I think he wrote in the ground? I think he wrote in the ground all the women that they had committed adultery with. Susie, Becky, Beyonce. I don't know if that name even existed back then, but it sounded good. He's writing their names, and the old guy in the back is like, dang, Becky was a long time. How do you know about that one? I mean, he's thinking in his head, he's like, I'm out of here. Can I erase Becky before I get out of here? And one by one, they all see their name and their sin and their problem, And they realize, you know what the truth of the matter is? I'm a sinner the same as she is. And they all begin to leave, and I love it. Here's what the Bible says. They all left one by one until only Jesus was left. Only Jesus. See, Jesus led with grace. But he wasn't going to compromise and not give the woman any truth either. See, he's full of grace and full of truth, and we've got to get better at leading with grace, because grace gives us the right. Grace opens the door, if you would. Grace gives us the opportunity to actually speak truth. If you lead with truth and you're a Christian, please stop. Please stop. That's not how Jesus led with you. It's not. Before you ever knew truth, he hung on a cross for you. He was leading the way with grace. So let's give people a place to belong even before they believe. It's one of our core values here at My City Church. It's inclusive in nature, that we go out of our way to create an environment where people can belong even before they believe. We make no apologies about specifically being focused on reaching the lost. So what's going to happen in this house? Grace and truth, because we want to give people a place to belong, but we also want to challenge them so that their life finds freedom. And here is Jesus modeling inclusive in nature. And he's giving her a place and he's saying, you know what? And he looks at the woman and he says, where are all your accusers? She goes, Lord, they've all left. And he goes, not one of them still here? She goes, no, Lord. And he goes, well, neither do I. But then he throws in, that's grace. Grace, 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 grace. Then he looks at her. He says, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Truth, 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 truth. See, it can't be just welcome home if we're not willing to embrace the one that is the head of the household. It can't be welcome home, do whatever, believe whatever. No, 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 friend, we're following Jesus. We've got to get to the point in our circle, in our life, when everything else has went away, that it's only Jesus left. It's only Jesus, full of grace and full of truth. You know, the real problem in our generation right now is because we've shifted to a post-Christian nation. Is what happens a lot, happens to me sometimes as I'm pastoring, is we draw a circle around people. We say, grace, you belong, we love you. And then it's like Jesus with this woman caught in adultery, and he looks at her and says, go and sin more and more. You know what a lot of people in our generation do right now? Who are you? Who are you to judge me? Who are you to judge me? And there's a big difference between truth with no relationship. That's called judgment. But truth with relationship is called freedom. I don't want to just have a room full of people. I want a room full of people that are being challenged by the grace of God to live out the truth of God. That's what we're going to do in this house. In this house, we do grace and truth. We do grace and truth. And some of you today in this place, just honestly, you grew up or you are in the truth, 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 truth category. I want to invite you to experience the other side, where your performance isn't paramount. Relationship is paramount. Grace is paramount. Some of you are just in the grace, 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 do whatever, believe whatever. I want to invite you to experience what it feels like to make decisions that align with God's will for your life, to experience the blessing and the favor of God, to find love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness rise up on the inside of you. Because you get grace. You realize, I am so lost and so broken, but you know what? Jesus is my way forward. For he is the way, the truth, and the life. I don't want to be just a fan of the cross. I want to be a follower of it. I want to be a follower of it. Can we stand to our feet? want to pray for us as a church, that we would experience all that Jesus is, that we'd experience grace upon grace upon grace, but that we would have the boldness and the courage to embrace truth, that we wouldn't settle for just following a part of Jesus, but we would be all in, because in this house, we're going to let Jesus decorate the walls, and in his house, we do grace and truth.
Thanks for checking out the My City Church podcast. We hope that this message inspired you to love God, love people, and lead in life. If you'd like to connect with us further, please visit us on the web at mycitychurch.cc. Until next time, we are believing that the best is yet to come in your life.